You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. Americans have plenty of concerns about issues facing the country right now. For many, immigration has moved to the forefront. Recent polling from Gallup found that Americans rated immigration as the most important problem facing the country today, with 28% picking that as their top concern. That's driven almost completely by Republicans putting the issue at the top of their list. It's the first time immigration has taken that top spot in the survey in the last 5 years. Other top concerns in the survey include the government, inflation, and the economy, but the issue of immigration has seen the largest increase in recent months. You might expect immigration to be the biggest concern for people who live near the border, and that's true, but the Midwest had fairly high levels of concern over immigration as well. So how is it that public opinion on national issues like this can shift so much, even in parts of the country that might not be as directly affected by something like immigration? Our next guest studies public opinion and political behavior. She's here to help us understand how people form their attitudes toward big issues like this. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Why do you think immigration has risen to the top of the list for many people? What do you see as the most important problem facing the country? How do you weigh issues when they're out there? Who do you look to get information, to get advice on what to make of big things facing the country right now? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Christina LaPlante is an assistant professor of political science and public administration at UW La Crosse. Christina, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Why do you think immigration has moved up to the top of this list? This is the Gallup poll, a long-running poll. Other surveys seem to show similar things. Why do you think immigration has risen to the top here in many ways?
Well, yeah, it's really shocking the quick jump that public opinion has made on this issue in particular. And I think to understand what's going on here, we really have to take a step back and look at how do people form political attitudes? And we have lots of theories about how this happens in political science, but I think the one that explains what's going on right now best is simply just looking at the power that elite political discourse and messaging has on public opinion. So, you know, when we're talking about political elites, not only are we talking about people like politicians and candidates for office, but, you know, we're talking about what's on the evening broadcast? We're talking about what are you listening to on the radio on the drive home, right? And it's exactly this conversation that we're having right now. So I think that just the overemphasis of the border crisis right now is really driving the effect that we're seeing right now. It's a really salient issue. I mean, we could talk about the historic bipartisan bill that passed the Senate and was on its way to the House until Trump interjected and said, oh, we can't have Biden having a success on the border. That would be detrimental to my campaign. So I think we see both candidates really trying to make this a galvanizing issue for their bases.
And you mentioned that bill. The Gallup polling made a point of saying, yeah, we were out in the field while this was playing out in Congress. So it may be that more than anything put that front and center in people's minds. This was the big political issue in the nation's capital over the course of that week.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I also want to emphasize that, you know, depending on what's going on in the moment, that has a big impact on how we perceive issues and the extent to which we weight those issues. So for any given voter, there's a variety of issues that are important to them, right? But we are inundated. Most Americans are inundated with a to-do list. You know, when is the next kid's dentist appointment? When do I have to take the dog to the vet? When is the big project at work due? On top of that, staying politically informed is a high order. So when we get the random phone call and actually decide to participate in those polls from Gallup or from Pew, and they ask us, hey, what's the biggest issue for you right now? We have this metaphor of the bucket analogy in political science. You know, people just reach into the bucket. They're grabbing what's most readily accessible. And that's probably going to be what they read in the paper this morning or what they listened to on the radio on the drive to work or what was playing on the evening news the night before. And with the overemphasis on the border in our current media landscape, it's not surprising that voters are reacting this way, and we're seeing this be a top issue.
Now, some might challenge the idea of an overemphasis because of circumstances in with crime in Central America, climate change in a lot of the world. There are large numbers of people coming to the U.S. border, in most cases, to seek amnesty. Is there something about just the reality that because of various global forces, people are showing up at the border in large numbers, larger than they had over the last few years?
Oh, of course. But what I want to emphasize is the framing by which media outlets are talking about the issue. You mentioned earlier that a lot of this effect is being driven by Republican voters. Why is that? And now I'm starting to feel a little depressed because every time y'all invite me on here, I start inevitably talking about fear messaging and anger messaging, but I'm about to do that again right now. When we look, I don't think anyone would disagree that the American news media landscape is highly polarized. And what that means is that when we have conservative outlets, they're going to talk about issues in a way that's advantageous to their party. Many Americans look at the Republican Party and they say they're tough on crime and they're good at handling international crises and conflict. So it's not surprising when we are seeing conservative-leaning news outlets talk about the border and immigration. They do so from an economic burden frame, and they do so from a crime and safety frame, because many voters perceive the Republicans to be really legitimate and good on those issues. When we look at liberal media outlets, what do we see them do? They emphasize the humanitarian crisis, and that makes people feel really sad about the border. So we have to understand, like, how are people being exposed to these messages? What is the underlying emotion, and how does that drive opinion?
Christina LaPlante is with us from UW-La Crosse, political scientist there, talking about how we shape our opinions on big issues, especially the issue of immigration. According to Gallup and other pollsters, it's risen as a top issue of concern for American voters, Republicans in particular. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts or your questions. That's 800-642-1234. Christina, an interesting distinction here. A lot of pollsters talk about illegal immigration. And when I talk to immigration experts, things have changed in some ways. The picture we might have of illegal immigration is people crossing the border and trying not to be detected, not to be caught by border security to come into the United States. Now, the most common thing is people coming to the border presenting themselves in hopes of making an amnesty claim. But when we use a phrase like illegal immigration, is that, I don't know, putting us in a different template, a different mindset when we think about the issue?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I would agree that, again, the terminology that's used, the emotional frame, all of that is done for a specific strategic advantage, right? We know that Democrats, when we think about contemporary liberal political ideology in America, we tend to think of that redistributive nature of the Democrats, right? That, you know, we care about intersectionality and diversity and helping the most disadvantaged people rise up. And so it's not surprising that when we look at the way that liberal news media outlets are talking about this type of issue, we're not using the terminology illegal immigrants, right? We're talking about people seeking amnesty. So I agree that it's really important, I think, for voters to pick up on these nuances and to try to understand, you know, what is the strategy? What's the deeper motivation from this story? How is it trying to influence me? I think we need to be a lot more aware of how politicians and news media, how they're trying to influence our opinions versus how are they trying to educate us on the issue.
As you mentioned, we're busy people with a lot on our minds. I mean, even, you know, I'm in the media, and I think I often kind of passively absorb things. I don't step back and take a few minutes to engage my media literacy to break down messages. How can we do that without shutting down our lives to ponder each and every issue?
I'm glad that you asked that question. I think it's a really good one. It's something that I tell my students every time we're approaching campaign season. And it's really just like a stop and think. I need to come up with something catchy that's like a stop, drop, and roll, because I think that's really what we need to do. Anytime you come across a headline, you're reading something, you hear something, you see something, and you feel this gut reaction that automatically leads you to feel angry or sad or fearful or anxious, any type of emotion like that, I think we need to stop, think, reassess, because 9 times out of 10, there is some type of political motivation or agenda underlying that, right? They're trying to grab our attention, make us feel fearful, make us feel angry, and there's an agenda behind that. And I think the more that we can just be mindful of when that's happening and assess that, I think we would all be a lot better off.
We're talking to UW La Crosse political science professor Christina LaPlante about how we form our opinions about big political issues. As recent polling found immigration as a rising concern for Americans, particularly Republicans, in recent Gallup and other polling. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have some version of a stop, drop, and roll when you see a political advertisement, hear part of a political speech, or reporting from outlets, whether you consider them reliable or not? Why do you think immigration has risen to the top of this list? 28% of Americans in the Gallup poll say it's their top issue. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Christina LaPlante, Assistant Professor of Political Science and Public Administration at UW La Crosse. She's with us today to talk about how we form our attitudes and opinions toward big political issues, with recent surveys from Gallup finding immigration the top concern among Americans for the first time since 2019, with 28% of Americans putting it at the top of their list, driven largely by an increase in Republicans citing it as the top issue. You could join in with your thoughts, your questions about all this at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring out a caller now. Paul is with us in Northern Illinois. Paul, hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I always love your show. Christina brought up a great point as far as the framing of this, and I'm wondering, and obviously different messages from different parties, some things bizarrely seem liberal when they're conservative and vice versa, but has anyone considered the net positive that illegal and legal immigrants bring to the country as far as our GDP and workforce?
Gotcha. Paul, thanks a lot for the call. Yeah, I have read some economic and analyst Christina saying we're not in a recession right now because we've had jobs filled by migrants, by immigrants of various sorts. Could you talk about the economic side of the framing when it comes to our conversations about immigration?
Yeah, what an excellent question. I appreciate Paul calling in with that. It's really interesting. Again, like I mentioned earlier, you know, there's three big frames that we can look at when we're trying to break down how people are talking about and thinking about immigration. So there's the economic burden frame, there's the security and crime frame, and then there's the humanitarian concern frame. And what's interesting is that, like, at each of those levels, there is still, while one tends to be emphasized by one ideology more than the other, there's still a partisan split on each of those narratives. So Paul's absolutely right that there is kind of a more liberal take on this economic frame, that let's talk about the economic advantages that immigrants can bring to our country. But I think on the more conservative side, we generally see the economic frame that immigrants can present this burden to our economy. And you know, what it used to be in like a decade or so ago was that, you know, immigrants, when they come to this country illegally, they take our jobs. That's kind of less of the rhetoric that we see today. And it's more a different kind of threat frame. It's more the idea that people believe that immigrants, when they come to this country illegally, that they strain our resources, that they may perhaps, again, you just take other resources that could be available to Americans, that I'm spending my tax dollars on, you know, medical bills for illegal immigrants who aren't even here legally. So it takes on, the debate has certainly evolved in an interesting way, I would say.
Thanks for that call, Paul. And Paul reminds me of, this was in a Monmouth University poll. Monmouth asked people about their thoughts on immigrants and their impact on jobs. 28% of the public said that illegal immigrants, as they phrased it, take jobs away from American citizens. 62% says that these immigrants fill jobs that Americans don't want. That's an interesting framing that I guess I wouldn't have expected, given a lot of the other conversation and framing around immigration, Christina.
Sure. Yeah. And I think what you're seeing there is kind of like actually some degree of class consciousness, right? This idea that when we're talking about low paying jobs, that's where the opinions tend to center on.
Let's go back to our callers. Nancy is with us in Wausau. Nancy, hi.
Hi there. My comment goes more along the lines of humanitarianism. You know, when we, America, I should say we, but American corporations go over to somewhat poorer countries and destroy their environment, destroy their water with, say, poor mining practices, because they can go there and get away with it, make a big buck and leave the land ravaged. Where do you think these people are supposed to come? Of course, they're going to come here. And, you know, I feel that we have a responsibility to help them.
Nancy, thanks for the call. Interesting way of looking at it, Christina. I don't think people always connect the dots between American business and foreign policy in the past and migration today. There is a connection, though.
Oh, absolutely. And what a great point that is. And I think it just further highlights the power of these threat messages and how effective they are and how they can essentially put blinders on us from engaging in that more kind of critical thinking thought process. And to be clear, you know, this isn't something that's unique to immigration. On hot button issues, we see politicians kind of across the board do this. And something that's interesting now is that we see Democrats engaging in a lot more threat-based, fear-based messaging than we have in the past. And a big example of that is how we talk about women's reproductive rights and this idea that if you don't vote and you don't participate in every single election, this is going to continue to happen. Women, you are going to lose your rights. And of course, like, that's a very frightening threat-based message. And that's where the conversation tends to focus on. And then we put our blinders on and we refuse to acknowledge opinions or attitudes that might be different from ours because we've been presented with this message that in and of itself is an existential threat. So it really what all of this does is it just continues to drive polarization and prevent any type of compromise or discussion across party lines on the issue. So great point.
Thanks for that call. Christina LaPlante is with us, political scientist at UW-La Crosse, talking about how we shape our opinions on big issues. Christina, you just mentioned polarization. I think a lot of times when news outlets and academics and others get people talking, they find that opinions are mixed. People have more mixed feelings or moderate feelings or they're torn two ways on issues. But once a political argument starts or a campaign starts, we attach ourselves to the issue on our side, dig in, and move away from that middle ground. Do you see that as the phenomenon in part driving polarization?
Absolutely. And think about how we are modeling how to discuss these issues across party lines, you know, among political elites, right? Look at presidential debates, for example. It used to be, I would say, you know, a couple election cycles ago that there were, you know, give and take and listen and respond in our presidential debates. And now they've really just kind of boiled down to these screaming matches and they're very uncomfortable to watch. And I think when that's the type of behavior that's modeled, you know, you are sending the message that this is how we talk about politics and anyone who disagrees with you, they're just a moron. And we've got to change that, right? So we've got to start holding politicians and elites accountable. Oh my God, and you can also look at the way that some news outlets will invite guests on to talk about issues, and it's just ridiculous. So we got to start doing a better job of modeling how to have these conversations if we want to fix polarization.
And Christina, I've heard a lot about negative partisanship when it comes to candidates, meaning I'm going to vote not for my candidate, but against the other party's candidate. Do you think that applies to issues as well? When someone sees, oh, the other side feels this way on that issue, therefore I ought to feel the other way.
Yeah, I think that that's a really pervasive and really unfortunate paradigm that's growing to characterize American politics right now. And again, it boils down to this idea that, you know, we know that when we make people angry, there's been lots of studies done on this in political science, that when we make people angry, they're much more likely to participate in politics. Anger is a very externalizing, mobilizing emotional state to be in. When you're angry, you don't want to be in that state. You want to do something. You want to be active and get out of it. And that's why I get really nervous when I see Democrats kind of default to this sad hopelessness messaging. Because when you're sad, well, you don't want to get up and do anything about that. How many of you have laid in your bed being sad and then thought to yourself, man, I really got to get up and do something about this sadness? Sadness is an internalizing, demobilizing emotion. And both of the parties are becoming pretty aware of this, which is why just everything, every issue, everything that we talk about is all saturated with anger, because political strategists know that's going to mobilize people, get them energized, and get them out participating in politics. So yeah, it's not surprising that this concept of negative partisanship is so heavily embedded in like every dimension of American politics right now.
Christina, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Oh, thank you. It's always a pleasure.
That's Christina LaPlante, Assistant Professor of Political Science and Public Administration at UW-La Crosse. She joined us today to talk about public opinion and how we form our attitudes toward big political issues like immigration and others.